All right. Open your Bibles this morning to two places. Open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And after you find John chapter 12, also get Mark chapter 14. John chapter 12. Mark chapter 14. John chapter 12, Mark 14. We're going to begin in John chapter 12 at verse 1. John chapter 12, Mark 14. John chapter 12, verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching your word. And Lord, I just pray this morning that as we hear your word preached, Lord, that we'll think upon these things that are said. Think about what the scriptures say, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we will apply them to our hearts. And Lord, that we will seek to do more for you, Lord, as Christians. Today, Lord, we live in an age where Christians really don't seek to do as much for you, Lord, as they have in the past. And we can see that, Lord, in our country. We can see it in the laws being passed. We can see it in just even how Christians act today. That, Lord, it just seems like you're not the priority that you once were. And, Father, I just pray that this morning, Lord, that maybe those things will change, at least in the hearts of the people here this morning. Lord, if there is somebody here that's not saved this morning, Lord, I pray they'll get saved. Lord, that they'll recognize that there's only one way to heaven, that no man cometh to the Father but by you. And, Lord, we need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if somebody hasn't done that today, Lord, I pray that you'll just give them no rest until they do. And Lord, as Christians today, Lord, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Now bless this message, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I chose John chapter 12 this morning because I want you to get kind of the complete setting for the story. Certainly there's other accounts of it, and we're going to be looking at that in Mark chapter 14 here in just a minute. But in this account, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and we know that Lazarus was a brother of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all friends of Jesus Christ. He had often spent a night in their home, and he had been refreshed in their home. But we know that Lazarus got sick, Lazarus died, and Jesus had to bring him back to life. And we read all in the gospel accounts, and you know we can tell that the feast that is described as when they're sitting here at the table, this feast is for Lazarus. I mean, because he had been brought back from the dead. I want you to kind of get where they're at here. They're in the house of Simon the leper. Okay. Now, it's believed widely that Simon the leper is the dad of Judas Iscariot, because right there in John chapter 12, verse 4, it says specifically Simon's son. Okay. Now, could this be another Simon? It certainly could. But when you compare the scriptures, they are in the house of Simon, and it is Simon the leper's house. And so it does seem like Simon leper would be the father of Judas Iscariot, which if you think about the type that leprosy is and sin, and him being the father of Judas Iscariot, that does make a lot of sense, okay? But they're all sitting around there at the table, and they're in the house of Simon the leper. Everybody's there. Jesus and Lazarus are sitting at the table talking probably Bible. Martha's in there serving food, like she's always seemed to be doing. And then after a while, the Bible says that Mary walks in. Mary, the sister of Martha. Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She walks in, and she has something in her hand that's extremely expensive. It's an alabaster box. And inside that alabaster box is a very expensive perfume or ointment. And Mary, she breaks the box open. She pours the perfume on the head of Jesus. She also pours the ointment on the feet of Jesus. And then comes the criticism. Now think about this, folks. The Son of God is sitting right there at the table. She walks in and she's got very expensive perfume, an ointment. She comes in, she pours that expensive ointment on the Son of God's head and on his feet. And you know what she gets? Criticism. Immediately she gets criticism. Okay? But she doesn't care about that criticism. You continue to read this passage, you'll find out that really, Mary could care less what other people are saying. Amen? I mean, she just keeps on doing what she's doing. She doesn't care about the cost. Only thing she cares about is her love for Jesus Christ. And then so she gets down on her knees, she mingles the ointment with her tears, she wipes the feet of Jesus, she praises him. Now, with that being said, turn your view over to Mark chapter 14. And I want to look at some other things that happened here in this story just to kind of to show you what all is going on here. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Boy, what a thing to say. Why was this waste of ointment made? I mean, we wasted it. Well, how'd she waste it? Well, she just poured it on the head of the Son of God. But it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Fine bunch of people. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Now, Jesus here is moved by what Martha did, or what Mary did. And Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work on me. And then Jesus said, starting at verse 7, he says, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial to her, a memorial of her. And what he's basically saying is what she did was so good of a work to me that any time that this gospel will be preached, you need to involve her in this thing. In other words, you're going to hear a lot about what she did for here on out. She needs to be spoken of. And may I tell you, that is coming to pass in your ears right now. Amen? I mean, you just now heard about what Mary did, right? Well, that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. All right? And so the scripture is being fulfilled in your ears right now. Because Mary lived almost 2,000 years ago, but yet we're still remembering what she did today when she poured the ointment on the head of Jesus. Jesus said this, what she's done will never, ever be forgotten. And so this story deals with what this work that Jesus is calling a good work. He said, she had done a good work for me. And so what I'd like to do this morning is to see why Jesus looked at this as being such a good work. In other words, why did he see what she did? And listen, there are a lot of people that did good things for the Lord. But there's certain things that she did, and he's going to mention to you of why it was considered a good work towards him. How many of you want to do a good work for the Lord? Well, listen, he tells you right here how to do that. Now, in Mark chapter 14, look at verse 4, back at verse 4. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. You say, well, how much was a pence? Well, a pence back in those days was about a day's labor, okay? And if you think about it, it said it could have been sold for about 300 of those. What that's telling you is this ointment that she had was basically worth a whole year's worth of labor. I mean, think about that. Today, I mean, people, they have a job and they make $30,000, $40,000 a year. Well, if you converted that back then that would make that ointment about $30,000, $40,000 for that. A pretty expensive ointment, wouldn't you say? I mean, I don't think you're going to find out at Bath & Body Works, amen? And so it's really expensive stuff. But the Bible tells us here that there were people here that had indignation. In other words, they were angry. You know, the bottom line is this, folks. You know, there are people today that want to do a good work for the Lord. There are people today that think that they're doing a good work for the Lord, but aren't. I mean, even though I'm talking about. Have you ever heard of those people from Westboro Baptist Church? Anybody ever heard of those people in Kansas? They're real nuts that, you know. Don't you know that they think that they're doing a good work for God? But are they?
No.
Listen, there are a lot of people today think they're doing a good work for God, but they're not. But I will tell you this, when somebody is doing a good work for God, boy, the criticism starts to come then. Amen? I mean, you start to do a good work for the Lord, people are going to criticize you, and that's what you're seeing right here. They said, what a waste, a year's labor gone just like that. They said this ointment could have been sold and the money could have been used to feed the poor. And guess who's doing the criticism? Judas Iscariot. Well, he's the guy who kept the money. He was the financial secretary of the 12. Mr. Honesty himself, the one who had betrayed Jesus Christ. And he's the one saying, well, boy, I can't believe you wasted ointment on that guy. You know how much money we could have got with that? Judas Iscariot was doing it. He's the one that's doing the criticizing. And so they were criticizing, but Mary wasn't paying any attention to them. May I remind you this morning, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be critics, folks. Listen, there are people in churches that will criticize you for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Christians out there that when you worship the Lord Jesus Christ and when you serve the Lord, they will be the first to criticize you, saying things like, well, you know, what do you think, you're better than us? Or they'll say, well, you know, I don't like the way he prays. It just doesn't seem like, you know, that the Holy Spirit's in it. Listen, you just keep on serving the Lord and don't worry about what other people are saying. That's exactly what Mary did. She said, listen, it's my spikenard. It's what I have. I'm pointing on his head. I love Jesus Christ, and I could care less what y'all think about it. And that's the way we need to be. Amen. Why? Because you're not here to please me, and you're not here to please anybody else in this church. You are here to please God. You are here to worship him. We think too much about what people say. You realize there are people today that allow things to go on in their lives as a Christian that they know they should not because they're afraid that they're going to offend somebody else? Yeah. I know people today that won't go door knocking, won't ask a friend to go door knocking with them because they don't want to sound like they're a radical. You need to quit worrying about what other people feel. Just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord and bring praise to him. And if they criticize, let them criticize. None of you, listen, it has nothing to do with it. It's between you and God. Now, you're going to be criticized if you pour your life out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can just tell you that right now. But I want to tell you why you don't need to pay too much attention to those folks. Number one, if you look at verse 6 there in Mark chapter 14, notice that Jesus will defend you. If you'll serve Jesus Christ today and pour your whole heart out for Jesus Christ, even though the critics may come, in due time, the Lord will defend you. You say, well, he hasn't defended me yet. Yes, but there is a judgment seat of Christ coming. And he'll defend you then. Notice there in verse 6, Jesus said, immediately, the second the criticism started, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. So Jesus will defend you. That's number one. That's one reason why you don't have to worry about the critics. Jesus will defend you. Number two, their criticism was their problem and nobody else's. Notice that Jesus did not have a problem with what Mary did. He never condemned it at all. You know, there are a lot of people today that have problems with what people do when Jesus wouldn't have problems with what they're doing. Amen? I tell you, there are people today that criticize other Christians for some of the things that they do when the Bible never says that they can't. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we should go out and live a life that's wicked. But listen, as Christians, sometimes we like to add to the Bible when things aren't in the Bible. Amen? I mean, just because we have a conviction of it, we say, well, I think that's wrong. Well, yeah, but does the Bible say it's wrong? I mean, that either we're living according to the Word of God or we're not. But notice there, Jesus didn't have a problem with what she did. Mary didn't have a problem with what she did. Lazarus didn't have a problem with what she did. Martha didn't have a problem she did. And I didn't hear any of the other 12 speak up except for one guy. Whose problem was it? It was Judas's. All right, that's another reason why you don't have to worry about the criticism of others. Number three, when people criticize you, they're only into it to rob you of your joy. It's either that or they got something else going on in their life where they're not serving God. You know, something I've noticed is this, that those who are doing less for God are always criticizing the loudest. I've always noticed that. I mean, almost in every single instance I've ever seen one Christian criticize another one for the way they're worshiping God or the way they're serving God, the one doing the criticism is usually the one that's doing less for God than anybody else in that church. Why is that? Well, that's the way it was back then. I mean, think about it. Out of those 12 disciples, there was one that the Lord called a brother. Amen? And he's the one doing the criticizing. And so these people are out to rob your joy. Mary Hill was having a wonderful time worshiping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, rather than letting some meddlesome hypocrite keep her away from the joy that she had in Lord Jesus Christ, she just kept on worshiping. And that's what you need to do, too. The truth, the question is this morning is, how much is Jesus worth to you as a Christian? Now, to Mary, he was worth at least everything she had right there. I mean, that's a whole year's worth of labor for that ointment. And she poured the whole thing on him. I mean, to her, Jesus Christ was priceless. Is he priceless to you? Is he worth everything to you? You know, it's not a waste to pour your life out for Jesus Christ. It's not a waste to spend precious time with the Lord. It's not a waste to make all of life about him. Folks, Jesus Christ is worth it. He's worth any sacrifice you could possibly make. He's worth it. The true waste would be for you to spend your life doing nothing else for the Lord. That would be the true waste. Her work, first of all, was a misunderstood work. The critics were saying, what a pity, what a waste, when they saw her pouring that perfume at the feet of Jesus. They didn't understand how truly valuable Jesus Christ really was. They didn't understand that they had the Son of God right there in the house. Otherwise, they would have never said it's a waste. May I tell you, nothing that you give to Jesus Christ is a waste. Nothing. If you give it to him, it's not a waste. But they didn't understand that. So what was it that made this a good work in the Lord's eyes? Again, like I said, we all want to have a good work for the Lord, and we all want to please the Lord. And certainly, when she came out of that alabaster box and she came out of that ointment, she poured it on his feet. Jesus Christ commended her for that. Jesus Christ defended her for that. Jesus Christ said, she has wrought a good work upon me. And that's what we all want. We all want to wrought a good work upon Jesus. So what was it that made what Mary did such a good work? Well, number one, and folks, this is a big one. If you want to do a good work for the Lord, it really isn't that hard. Christians always try to make things harder than it actually is. So much so that some Christians will even be what they're not to try to put on a facade. But you know what Jesus, what made it such a good work in Jesus' eyes? Number one, he said this, she did what she could. She did what she could. I tell you right now, if somebody asked me, how am I supposed to live my Christian life? How am I supposed to please God? How can I wrought a good work upon the Lord? You know what my first answer is going to be? Just do what you can for the Lord. Do what you can. If you can be here every time the church door is open, do it. Why? You're not coming here for me. You're coming for the Lord. If you can read your Bible every minute of the day, do what you can for the Lord. You say, do I have to read 525? Do I have to read those 45 minutes, Pastor, in the morning, 45 minutes at night? No, but you at least do what you can do. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen. What do you think you're going to be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ? Of what sort of work your work was? That's what you're going to be judged for. Of what sort of work? Well, if you're going to be judged for what sort of work, then do what you can do for the Lord. And your judgment seat of Christ will do just fine. You know why? You know how I know that? Because he said of her right there, she had done what she could do. And therefore, she hath wrought a good work on me. I'm here. Listen, if you say, how am I supposed to come out good on the judgment seat of Christ? How am I supposed to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you know, I fought the good fight of faith? How can I do that? Just do what you can do today. And if you could read 45 minutes at night, then read 45 minutes at night. You say, I can't do that. I can only read 20. Then read 20. Oh, you know, I can be at church whenever I can. You know what? When somebody tells me I'll be at church whenever I can, I say, amen. I'm not one of those people that say, well, if you don't come to church every single time, you must not be saved. I'm not one of those people. Why? Because the Lord said she did what she could. If you can only be here on Sunday mornings, and that's all you can do, and you know that's all you can do, then keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. If you can be here more, be here more. If you read your Bible more, read your Bible more. If you can pray more, read more. But remember this, you won't stand before the judgment seat of Bob Crowder. You're going to read it, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to know if you gave it your all. He's going to know if you did what you could or if you didn't give what you could. You know, there are a lot of Christians today that aren't giving, they aren't doing what they know they could be doing. There are Christians today that say, you know what, I know I could be serving the Lord more. Then you aren't doing what you're not doing all that you can. If you're here this morning and you know that you can serve the Lord more, you are not doing all you can do. But the Lord said, if it's going to be a good work upon me, be like her. She did what she could. He said she had done what she could. You know, she wasn't a preacher like Peter. She couldn't cook like Mary or Martha, or at least we don't think that she could, because every time we see the two together, Martha's always the one in the kitchen. Amen? And so, but what did she do? Well, she didn't have much. She didn't have the preaching skills of Peter, couldn't preach, and she didn't have the thing of Martha, and certainly she hadn't been raised from the dead like Lazarus, so what could she bring? Well, all that she could. Her alabaster box, full of ointment. And so she brings it to Jesus, and Jesus says she had done what she could. It's, you know, the bottom line is, folks, we need to stop comparing ourselves with other people. You know, so many people say, you know, if I could just be like that person, I'd serve the Lord more. If I could just play the piano, I'd serve the Lord more. If I could just sing, I'd serve the Lord more. Listen, God gives different people talents. Now, there are a lot of talents I wish I had, but I don't have. But listen, I'm still supposed to give the Lord everything that I can. I'm supposed to serve the best I can with what the Lord's given me. By the way, everybody in here does have talents. You say, I don't have any talents. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. You've got, everybody in here has got some talents. But yours may not be the ones you want. It may not be the ones like the other people that you wish you had. But you are to give what you have to the Lord. And therefore, you do all that you can do for Him. And we need to quit thinking about what they can do for the Lord and other people can do to the Lord. Start asking yourself what you can do for the Lord and whether or not you're giving what you can. All of us should do just what we can do for the Lord. All right? A second thing that Jesus said, that when He said that she has wrought a good work, the first reason is because she did what she could. The second thing is because she gave her all to the Lord. In other words, she just didn't give Him a little bit of it. She didn't give Him a tiny bit of it. She gave everything that she had to the Lord. And the Lord said she has wrought a good work because she's done that. Now, there's a reason why Jesus was so moved by what Mary did, and that is because it cost her everything. Do you think Jesus knew how expensive that ointment was? Yeah. He knew about a year's worth of labor. He knew that. But he didn't say anything back. He didn't say anything about it. But I'll tell you this, He let her pour all that oil on Him. And He never said a single word. She did not hold back, folks. In other words, the most expensive, the thing that cost her the most in life, that's what she gave to the Lord. And she didn't give just a little bit of it. She gave it all to Him. And because she gave it all to Him, the Lord says, you see Mary right there? She hath wrought a good work on me. Why did she wrought a good work on you? Well, because number one, she did what she could. And she just didn't give me a little bit of what she had. She gave me everything. Everything. You know, are you willing to give the dearest treasure you have for the Lord this morning? I mean, I want you to think right now. Just think with me. What is the most valuable thing that you have in this life right now? You don't have to answer. I'm sure that all of you have different answers on that. Some people, their children. Some people, other things. But the most valuable thing that you have right now, question. You willing to give that thing to the Lord? You know, a lot of people put their family before the Lord. Jesus specifically said that compared to love for Him, you're supposed to hate your family compared to your love for Him. That doesn't mean hate your family. It means you're supposed to love them less than the Lord. Nothing goes ahead of the Lord. You know, this is one of the things that I've always told people. People have, you know, their kids grow up and they don't necessarily live the way that we want them to live sometimes. And they say, Pastor, what in the world am I supposed to do? I say this, just turn them over to the Lord. Pray for them, just turn them over to the Lord. Let him handle them. Why? Because you know what? They're on their own, and you just got to pray for them. Listen, we need to be able to take the most valuable things that we have and just give it all to the Lord. But the problem I see with Christians today is they give a little to the Lord, and they feel like they're justified somewhat. In other words, you say, well, what's valuable? Well, to some people, time's pretty valuable. Amen? I mean, hey, listen, time flies. Well, yeah, every time I look in the mirror, I know that time's flying pretty fast. Amen? And so we know that time's flying. Well, time is a valuable asset. I mean, boy, you're talking about, how many would you like to have the last 20 years back? You know? It's very valuable. Well, question, how much time have you given to the Lord? I mean, think about this. If we were going to go to the tithe, you just gave 10% of your day, you know how long that would be? You give that to the Lord? You say, well, how am I supposed to give? Well, he said she gave everything she had. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to give it all to the Lord. All your time. You willing to do that? There are a lot of people today that aren't in churches on Sunday morning because they're out there on that lake on a boat. Amen? On the river fishing, you know, some will be water skiing, they'll be doing all these different things. But yet, they'll, when they come to church, they'll say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you really? Mary said, listen, the only thing I've got is this alabaster box full of ointment. It cost a whole year's worth of labor. It's all I have. It's the most expensive thing that I have. And you know what, Lord? It's all yours. Not a little bit of it. Not a little spray of it. The whole thing is yours, Lord. That's the way we need to be. Don't you realize, folks, that one of these days when you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, do you have any idea how little the things of this earth will actually mean to you at that point? When you're standing before the throne of God and you're looking at Jesus Christ sitting right there on that throne, those times that you could have given him everything, you're going to regret those days you didn't. Those days when you could have went out there and getting rewards and getting crowns so you could lay at his feet, you'll say, boy, I wish I'd never even seen that boat. I wish I'd never even seen football before. I wish I'd never even seen baseball before. I wish I'd never even seen a hunting rifle before. I wish I'd never seen any of it because I should have gone it all to God. That's where it's going to be, folks. But today, we get all caught up in the materialism of this world. We start looking around, and everything looks so, you know, shiny to us. Got to have this, and got to have that, and I'll pull the extra hour so I can buy this over here, and so I can spend, I can pull the extra hour so I can buy that, and then more of my time's taken because I got to use that, and then I want something else to go along with that, so now I've got to work more hours, and the whole time God's being put on the back burner. No, you need to give it all to the Lord. Everything to the Lord. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and you'll be judged of, did you do what you could? And how much was the Lord really worth to you? How much did you actually give him of what you have? How much did you give him? How much of your time did you give him? Did you give him your kids? Do you give him everything? Do you make sacrifices for him? Let me ask you this. If you're not saved here this morning, what's the most dearest thing you have? You know what it is? Your soul. Amen. Your soul. In fact, Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Listen, that soul is going to live forever. It's either going to live forever in heaven or it's going to live forever in hell. But it's going to live forever, and it's a very valuable thing. In fact, when it comes to you, that's the most valuable thing that you have. Question, have you given that soul to Jesus Christ? If you never call on him for salvation, you haven't given to him yet, you better, because that's the only way of being under safekeeping. If you want it saved, you better give it to him today. You say, how do I do that? Then you call upon him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and believe he died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, that when he shed that blood on the cross of Calvary, he shed that blood for your sins to be washed away. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. You need to do that. Because it's your soul. If you're already saved this morning, are you willing to give the most treasured things that you have to the Lord? And like I said, there are a lot of things we could give him, but are you willing to turn it over to the Lord? She not only gave what she could, but she gave the thing that she treasured by far the most, the thing that was most expensive to her. No wonder Jesus was impressed. No wonder Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work on me. Because she did all she could to do for Jesus, and she gave her all to Jesus. Are you doing that today as a Christian? Are you giving it all to Jesus? And then the third and last thing that made her work a good work wrought upon him. Number one, because she did what she could. Number two, because she gave everything that she had to the Lord. Gave him the whole thing. And then number three, she did what she could while she still had the chance. She did what she could while she still had a chance. In Mark chapter 14, look at verse 8. Jesus says this, "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burial." Now I want to point out something to you. Of all the people, of the women, who wanted to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, there was one who did. One who did. Now I want you to imagine, within a week of this account, Jesus would be dead. He would have already hung on the cross, and died, been buried. And then Mary is coming to anoint the body of Jesus. You know, so he's going to be dead, but yet Mary comes aforehand to anoint the body of Jesus. You say, well, how did Mary know to do that? I mean, everybody else, when you read the account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, everybody else came after he was already in the sepulcher. And they came that morning when he had risen. Why? Because they come there to anoint the dead. All right? But Mary comes aforehand to do it. Now, how do you suppose she found out about that? I mean, how did she know to do that? How come it was just Mary and not all these other ladies that are going up there on Resurrection Sunday? How come it's just Mary that's doing this? You say, well, how did she know? I mean, how did she know about this? Well, we're never actually told, but I have an idea. You know, when you read about Mary in the Bible, the sister of Martha, do you know where you see her usually whenever Jesus is around? At his feet. And you know, if you remember back in Luke chapter 10, we saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha was working up a storm in the kitchen. Martha comes out of there and says, you know, I need some help in the kitchen here. And basically Jesus said, she tells Jesus, you know, send Mary in here to help me out in the kitchen. But Jesus said, Mary had chosen the better part because she's there at the feet of Jesus. And may I tell you, when you're at the feet of Jesus, folks, there are things that the Lord's going to reveal to you through the Word of God that he won't reveal to other Christians. Truths there. He'll reveal to you. If you'll just spend some time at the feet of Jesus. That's what Mary did. She spent time at the feet of Jesus, and because of that, Mary had a spiritual sensitivity about the truth of the Word of God. Not only that, but she believed the words of God. She believed them. Listen, Jesus had said many times before her that he had to go to the cross, he had to die, he had to bury, and he'd be raised again. He spoke about that about five or six times during the Gospels, but every time that he would say that, the disciples would usually say, he would usually say in the scripture that to the disciples it was like idle tales to them, or they understood not these things. But obviously Mary understood it. Mary must have understood it because she came there a third time to anoint Jesus because she knew that he was going to the cross. The rest of the disciples didn't realize that. But she did. Why? She had been spending a lot of time at Jesus' feet. She had been listening to what he said. And she believed what he said. So all of a sudden when it comes night at the time that he has to go to the cross, she comes in there to anoint his body before time to anoint him. Now, I want you to get something very important here. I want you to imagine about a week later, and it comes the morning of the resurrection, and it's early in the morning, and there are some women who are going to the tomb there to anoint Jesus after he'd been buried, and they're carrying the ointment, and they're carrying the perfume, and because they had buried Jesus in such a hurry that they didn't have time to anoint his body, and so they're coming that morning to the tomb to anoint him, but when they get there, the stone is already rolled away. The stone is already rolled away. The sepulcher's open. And he's no longer there. May I tell you, at that point, would you agree with me that it's a little late to anoint Jesus? Now, we're never told how much that ointment that they brought on resurrection morning cost. But if it's the same stuff that spikenard, that's a whole year's worth of stuff. So here's what you have. You have these ladies that come up there to the sepulcher. They have good intentions. They had had the anointment, the spikenard, they had the ointment, and they came up with good intentions, but they were too late. Jesus had already risen from the dead. But there was one that wasn't too late, and that was Mary. She came aforetime and did it. You know, Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work on me. Why? Well, she did what she could. And she gave it all. But she gave it when she had the chance. Now, I have no doubts that this morning there are Christians in here that have an idea of what you want to do for the Lord. I have no idea. I have no doubts that there are people here that want to do more for the Lord. They say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord more. I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to witness to people more. Listen, those are great sacrifices for the Lord. I want to be more thankful. I want to praise God more. Great sacrifices. No doubt about that. But the question is when are you going to do it? There are a lot of Christians that have in their mind, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do more for the Lord. But it never seems to ever come to pass. May I tell you, you better do it while you have the chance. Because your intentions of serving the Lord more won't help you at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because he said, she hath wrought a good work because she did it when she could. In other words, she saw the day was coming. And she said, boy, I've got this alabaster box here, and I got this ointment, and I've saved up for it, and it's everything I have. It's the most expensive thing I have. I don't have the talents of everybody else, and I don't have Peter's preaching talents. I don't have Mary's cooking talents. I don't have all these different things, but I'm just going to do what I can. All I have is this spikenard, this ointment, and I'm going to take it to Jesus, and I'm going to give him all, and boy, I better hurry up and do it because he's going to die soon. I've got just a little bit of time. And so she runs over there, and that's what she does. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, you better get going on it. Because one of these days, time's going to be up. And we don't know when that time's going to be up. And I have a feeling there are a lot of Christians today that when they get to the judgment seat of Christ or that rapture will happen right now, and I know there are a lot of Christians because I've heard them on their deathbed tell me, I wish I'd have done more for the Lord. There are a lot of Christians today, folks, that when the end comes, whether it be by death or rapture, the first thing you're going to think is, Lord, just give me a little more time. Lord, give me a little more time, Lord. I had plans to serve you more, Lord. I had plans to do much more for you, Lord. But Lord, just give me a little bit more time. Sorry, no more time once the time comes. If you're going to do something for the Lord, if you're going to do what you can for him, if you're going to give it all to him like you should, you better hurry up and do it. Because good intentions won't get you a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. It's what you did for the Lord. Of what sort of work it is what you'll be judged for. So the question is this morning, we say we want to wrought a good work for the Lord. We say we want our works for the Lord to please. Now I understand works does not save anybody. I understand that. But after you are saved, you are to serve the Lord. And when you serve the Lord, there are going to be works involved in that. Yes, it's work to go out there and witness to people. It's work to sit there and read your Bible. Don't you tell me it ain't. I read Leviticus last night. It's work. Amen. But you know what? Is it a good work? We want to do good works for God. Then you got to do it the way what the Lord described as a good work. Are you doing everything you can for the Lord? With whatever you have, are you giving it to the Lord? Are you giving it all to him? Or just a little bit? And are you going to do, if you've got great plans on what you're going to do for the Lord, which I hope all of us do, when are you going to start it? When are you going to get going on it? I'll tell you this, when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, folks, I want to be one of those that said, Lord, with what you gave me, I did what I could for you, Lord. Lord, everything you gave me, I gave it, everything I could to you, Lord, I gave you everything. And Lord, I sure am glad that I got to give you that before you took me. Amen? You know what that's called? That's called fighting the good fight of faith. That's what that's called. So the question this morning is this. Are you doing that? Is the work that you're doing for the Lord, is it a good work? I'm not talking about in your eyes. I'm talking about in the Lord's eyes. Is it a good work? It should be. If you'll do what you can, give everything you have to the Lord, and do it while you still have time. Are you saved this morning? Have you given your soul to Jesus Christ? There's no way you'll ever make it to heaven if you don't. Have you done it? Let's stand. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. And Lord, when we see Mary here, Lord, and the sacrifice she gave, Lord, and how she did what she could for you, how she gave it all for you, and Lord, how she did it while she still had time. Lord, I pray these words will sink into these folks this morning. Lord, I know that all of us have plans to serve the Lord more, but Lord, help us not to keep on putting it off and putting it off. Because if Mary had put it off, Lord, she'd have been just like the rest of them, show up there on resurrection morning, and it'd have been too late. She would have never been able to give you what she gave you that day if she had put it off. And Lord, help us to understand that truth, that we're only here for a short time. We all think that we're here for a much longer time, but we're never guaranteed the next day. And Lord, I pray that each one of us as Christians here this morning, Lord, will just commit to serving you more, to giving you everything that we have, and giving what we can to you, Lord, but start doing it now so that, Lord, you'll be glorified in it, that you'll be, that Lord, that you'll be lifted up because of it, and it'll be about you. I pray this morning, Lord, there's somebody here that's not saved, that have not given you the most valuable thing they have, Lord, and that's their soul. I pray that they'll do that today, that they'll just turn their soul over to you, receive you as their Savior, Lord, by calling upon you to save them their sins. And you said you'd save anybody that would call upon you. Lord, if they're not saved, I pray they'll do that today, because they too will stand before the throne of God one day, either as a saved man or a lost man. And Father, I pray you'll have your will and way there in the invitation this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you haven't given your all to the Lord, why don't you start today? Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't done what you could for the Lord. You know that you could serve the Lord more than you are right now. You know you could read your Bible more than you have right now. You know that you could pray more than what you're praying right now. You know deep down that you have not served Him with everything you have. And you know you haven't just done what you could. Will you start today? Start today. And if you're not saved here today, will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul? During the invitation, if the Lord spoke to you, will you come?